Luke 2. I'll be reading, breaking in at verse 21 of Luke 2 and reading through verse 38. Luke 2, beginning at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. If you'll be seated, please.
Good morning. Greetings in Christ's name this morning. As a parent, when your child comes home from school and tells you something that happened to them in school, one of the first things you do is call the teacher to hear their side of the story so that you can gather the evidence to see if the child's story was accurate. Or as an employer, if you notice poor work quality coming from one of your employees, you check in with the foreman of the job and see if it's something that happened once or if it's a regular occurrence. You try to get evidence or you try to see the truth about his quality of work. Or even in an accident scene or in the courthouse in front of a judge, it is very helpful when there are many witnesses to share their story about what happened so that the truth is revealed. In the Bible does the same thing. There are a handful of times when the Bible mentions that there needs to be 2 or 3 witnesses in order for a word or truth to be established. In the Old Testament, a person who was accused of a crime needed to have more than one witness in order to be convicted of the crime, and that was so that people would be able to know what is truth. And I believe the Holy Spirit, when he inspired the writers, people to write the Bible, he arranged it so that we are able to have more than one witness about whether something is true or not. Here in Luke 2, we have the same thing happening. We have 3 groups of people who testify to those around them about who Jesus is. Because of them sharing their testimony of their experience of Christ and who he is, Luke's readers, first of all, Theophilus, whom he wrote to, and even now to us as a church, we can be convinced in our hearts and lives about who Jesus is. Where, like it says in Luke 1:4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. What Luke recorded was eyewitness accounts and were believed by him that he was sharing with others. And the word eyewitness gives the idea of an autopsy from the Greek word that is used. The sermon title is a testimony about Jesus. And I want us, as we listen to the sermon, to be the judge about who Jesus is and hear the testimonies of these three people that shared and allow their testimonies, their word about Jesus, to be established in our hearts. And I recognize that I'm speaking to many people that already believe in Jesus and know who he is. But maybe there's someone who isn't sure yet. Or maybe you heard the stories about Jesus from a child and don't know why we believe that Jesus is the truth. But maybe in this sermon, you can understand why we know that Jesus is true, the one sent from God, because of the three witnesses. I trust that this sermon can be an encouragement for all of us, as it was for me. The identification of these three groups of people we see here in Luke 2, Joseph and Mary, Simeon and Anna. All three of these people were in the temple when they identified who Jesus was. Three witnesses, in their different ways, testifying who Jesus is. Identifying who Jesus is among possibly many other parents who brought their children in to the temple that day. Let's look at Joseph and Mary, verses 21 to 24. We can see in these verses that they circumcised and they named Jesus and also presented Jesus to the Lord. First of all, circumcising. This was a practice that all Jewish male child need to go through. It was a practice that started with Abraham way back in the Old Testament. Abraham did it not only to himself, but to all the male children who were born in his house or in his lineage. This was done when they were 8 days old, and it was a practice that overrode even the Sabbath day law. Not only was Abraham and his male children circumcised, but also any male child that he purchased with his money or his servants. This was something that God commanded Abraham to do because of the promise that he made to him. In the time of the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, only the Jews practiced this procedure until they had the big debate in the early church about continue on with the practice in order to be considered a Christian. Circumcision is a cutting of the flesh of the skin, which also means that blood was shed. When God told Abraham to do it, he said that my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. So circumcision pointed to the covenant. The covenant was the things that God promised to Abraham, which was the land of Canaan with its detailed boundaries in Genesis 15, and that a great nation will come from Abraham, and that God will bless them in every area in life, both spiritual and also physical blessings. Israel will become prosperous. This covenant that God made to Abraham is considered an everlasting covenant. In other words, this covenant is still an everlasting covenant for Israel today. It hasn't stopped, even though right now Jesus is considered a stumbling block for them. Jesus, the one who was circumcised, will be the one who will make all these covenants happen after the nation of Israel has repented at the time of the second coming. While I don't know why God chose this as a sign for the covenant, my guess is just as God passed through the pieces that Abraham divided, which caused blood to shed when he made his promise to Abraham, so also Abraham and his seed will need to, as a reminder of the promise, shed blood through circumcision. All this to say that Jesus was born of the seed of Abraham. He was a Jew. And Luke proved to his readers by the Holy Spirit that when Joseph and Mary had Jesus circumcised, his nationality was Jewish. And he was therefore pointing out what was prophesied so many times in the Old Testament. The Old Testament promised many times that Jesus would come from the seed of Abraham, Genesis 22, 17, and 18. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in the multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. God was speaking to Abraham here, in thy seed, speaking about one person coming from Abraham, shall all the nations be blessed. This is speaking about Jesus. And also Numbers 24, 17, when Balaam is speaking to Balak, telling him that what the Lord told him. And it says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. A star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And this is speaking about Jesus again. Jesus is one who comes from Israel, which tells us why he was circumcised. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Jesus will come out of Bethlehem, which is one of the many towns in Judah. When a baby was circumcised on the eighth day after it was born, it was then that they named the baby. We see that in Zacharias, he named his son John the Baptist on the eighth day when he was circumcised in Luke 1. After Jesus was born, he was then named by his parents. And what did they name him? They named him Jesus. Why was he given this name, Jesus? If we go back to Matthew 1, we can see why he was given that name. When Joseph found out that his wife was with child, he was planning to break up the engagement. But an angel came to him and told him that what was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. And he then instructed Joseph to name the child Jesus. An angel also told Mary that she should name him Jesus. This is the first time that I could tell that the Messiah, the one sent from God, would be named Jesus. The name Jesus is a name that is very common among the Jews. When Jesus is mentioned in the gospel, it often says Jesus of Nazareth, the town where Jesus grew up. And I think they did that so that the reader could know who the author of the book is referring to. Like I said, Jesus is a common name. They say that Barabbas, who was released instead of Christ, was named Jesus Barabbas. The name Joshua, that we know very well in the Old Testament, is the same name as Jesus, but in Hebrew. There is many times in the Old Testament that Joshua is mentioned, the one who led the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. And Joshua, in many ways, is a type of Christ in the different stories that is given. The new name, or the name Jesus, is new information that no one knew before it was given to Joseph and Mary. But the way that the angel described who their baby Jesus was, they knew exactly whom the angel was referring to. That he was the Messiah, the one sent from God, who would save their people from their sins. The name Jesus means salvation, that he should save his people from their sins. This name that is given to Jesus speaks about what his mission is here on the earth. This name Jesus is a powerful name, and we could spend a couple sermons speaking about this name, Jesus. We are saved by faith in Jesus' name. We pray in the name of Jesus. We are baptized in the name of Jesus. Miracles in the New Testament were done in Jesus' name. We have forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. If we mention the name of Jesus today, those who are a part of the church, and speaking about the greater church, we think about the power, presence, and purpose of Jesus' resurrection and what that all means for us as believers. This baby that was named was one whom the prophets had prophesied and whom the nation of Israel had waited for so long. And I don't think that Joseph and Mary named him Jesus just because they were obedient to the angel. I think they named him Jesus because of what they believed that the angel told them was true, that he was the Messiah. They believed that their baby, like I said, was the one sent from God. And because of what they believed, they testified to those around them and to Luke's readers that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. We therefore have witness through Joseph and Mary about who Jesus is. He was circumcised, fulfilling as one who came from the seed of Abraham. Let's look at Joseph and Mary's actions when they presented Jesus to the Lord. When a mother in Israel had a baby, she was considered unclean and wasn't able to enter into the temple. 40 days after the birth of the child, for the mother to become clean, she needed to go to the temple and offer a lamb and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Whereas in the case of Joseph and Mary, they were poor, so they could offer 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. They needed to offer a sin offering so that Mary could become clean. As Mary was going through this ceremony, she had in her arms her son, who would one day be able to make all people clean from all their sins by one sacrifice. Mary was, by one sacrifice, making one area in her life clean until she had another baby, and then she needed to do it all over again. When they came to the temple in Jerusalem to give of the offering, they presented Jesus to the Lord. What is meant when they presented him to the Lord? What did they have in mind? To present means to stand by or near, to be a hand. Mary's son, Jesus, was to stand by, to be a hand for the service of the Lord. This is something that Hannah in the Old Testament did to her son Samuel in 1 Samuel 1. She presented her son to the Lord. Notice what it says in Luke 2:23. As it is written, the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Since Jesus was the first son of Mary, this is something that needed to be done. This was the law that God told Moses and the children of Israel in Exodus 12. And I think it was a reminder to them what happened on the night that they left Egypt, how all the oldest sons of every family was killed by death, by the death angel, except for those who put the blood of a lamb that was killed on the doorposts of the house that they were living in. In Exodus 12, God tells them to sanctify, to set them apart, every oldest male child. They belong to God. This meant then that your son would work in the temple with the Levites. And if you didn't want your son to work in the temple with the Levites, there was a ransom price to pay to the priests, which was 5 pieces of silver, and which was an amount that was very expensive to pay. But Joseph and Mary presented Jesus to the Lord to do service in the temple. And what service did Jesus do in the temple? Jesus, who was not a Levite, nor was of the lineage of Aaron, did the work of a high priest. A high priest who was responsible to take care of the sins of the people by sacrifices. They knew who Jesus was. They presented him to the Lord instead of paying the money to redeem him so that he could do the priestly work in saving us from our sins, so that he can be our high priest interceding for us. Joseph and Mary are a witness to us in their testimony and what they thought about Jesus when they circumcised, named, and also presented him to the Lord. By their actions, they identified who he was. Let's look at Simeon in verses 25 to 35. Who is Simeon, and what part did he play in being a witness and identifying who Jesus is? Simeon was one who was just and devout. He was one who was righteous. He was one who observed the laws. He kept the commands that God had given the children of Israel many years before. He was one who believed and followed God. He was one who reverenced God. I think Simeon also knew the scriptures. He knew the promises that God had promised to Israel. And we can see that in this story, in the way this story lays out. And I think this is something that is very important for us. If we want to know God's plan for this world, for our lives, we too need to study the scriptures, the promises that God has made. Simeon had this character when the time in Israel wasn't the greatest spiritually. The nation of Israel was in darkness over this time. Isaiah 8 speaks about the darkness that Israel was going through. And it seems that at the time Israel was not hearing the word of the Lord that they had through the prophets. They were closing their ears to them and were listening to other voices like familiar spirits through witches that they had. Also, God hadn't spoken to them through the prophets for many years, and possibly was it because of whom Israel was wanting to listen to, other voices. While Israel was no longer in captivity in Babylon, and they were in their hometown, they were being oppressed and were kind of like in captivity in their own towns. And we know that those who were their oppressors were the Romans. So there was a discouraging time for Israel around Simeon. They were not in good state spiritually. They were walking in darkness. But it seems like Simeon was one who was righteous. There was light in his life because of his faith in God. He was one who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I appreciated Ken Ash's what he had to say a couple weeks ago about this. But what does consolation of Israel mean? It is one who brings comfort or refreshment to Israel. This is done through the Messiah when he comes to the earth. Another word for consolation is comfort. Simeon was waiting for the comfort to Israel by the Messiah. And Isaiah 40 talks about comforting Israel. Isaiah 40, 1 and 2. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she had received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This speaks about when there will no longer be no war in Jerusalem and that her iniquity is pardoned. And we know that Jerusalem is not quite there yet. This comfort or consolation of Israel that Simeon was waiting for is when Jesus will set up his kingdom here on the earth, which will happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it says that he was waiting for it. By Simeon waiting for it, it meant that he expected it to happen. Simeon knew what the prophets had prophesied about Israel and knew without a shadow of a doubt that it would happen. He was waiting for it to happen. Simeon was also one who had the Holy Spirit upon him. The Holy Spirit, before Pentecost, came upon people just for certain events. that happened in a person's life so that they could be a spokesperson for God, so that they could do a special service for God. A person in the Old Testament was never baptized by the Holy Spirit, but only came upon them for certain events. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke records 6 times when the Holy Spirit came upon someone at the time of Jesus' birth. First 2 chapters, we can see that. John the Baptist, Zacharias, Mary, Elizabeth, Simeon, and Anna. Each one of these people spoke divine truths for God, proclaiming each time about who Jesus is. And it is the same for Simeon as well. He reveals to us who Jesus as a baby, and he reveals what Jesus will do for all people. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he wouldn't die before he saw the Messiah that Israel had waited for so long. And we don't know how long before that the Holy Spirit told him this, that he would see the Messiah. But it was shown to him by God through the aid of the Holy Spirit that he would see Jesus. Can you imagine the excitement that he would have with this information? Everyone was waiting for the Messiah for many years. But here he was told in his lifetime that he would see him. He possibly was often wondering, when would Jesus come? And when every year would come to an end, he possibly would think, is the next year or the year the Messiah would come? And I think this is the same attitude that we as a church should have, anxiously waiting for the coming of the Lord. 2024 is coming to an end. Is 2025 the year that Jesus will come back for the church? The Holy Spirit led Simeon to the temple at just the right time and led him to Joseph and Mary with their baby. We don't understand the size of the temple. The temple in that day was very, very big. And at that day, there could have been many other parents there with their 40-day-old baby, presenting their baby to the Lord or redeeming their child. There was many people working in the temple. And there would have been probably many other people there as well, worshiping or doing their sacrifices or whatever they do when they go to the temple. There's no indication that Simeon and Joseph and Mary knew each other, but yet the Holy Spirit led him, Simeon, to them. And because he was led by Simeon, or by the Spirit, Simeon shows to us that he firmly believed that Jesus was the Messiah that God told him that he would see before he dies. Simeon met Jesus because of the Holy Spirit's leading. Let's look at his testimony about Jesus. When Simeon saw Joseph and Mary, he took the baby into his arms and blessed God. He praised God for the arrival of the baby. He blessed God because of the joy that he was experiencing. This joy came because of his belief. He knew whom he would see before he would die, and now he saw that Messiah. Not only that, but he knew what this baby would do for the nation of Israel that God had promised to Abraham many years before, how he would be their king, how he would bless them, and how you would save them from their sins. When Simeon saw Jesus, he was ready to depart in peace, or he was ready to move on in peace. Why was he able to say that? It's because he saw Jesus. He saw the Messiah. And I think this gives us a loud testimony about the identity of the baby, that it was indeed the Messiah. He was ready to move on to the next phase of his life because he testified who Jesus was. He was convinced beyond any shadow of doubt. He was ready to die in peace. And this also speaks about how he accomplished what the Holy Spirit told him that he would be able to do. He wasn't going to come to the end of his life with anxiety because he hasn't met the Savior. He was able to die in peace because of the answer to the prophecy by the Holy Spirit. I want to look now a little bit at what he said about Jesus. He labeled Jesus as God's salvation. We can see that salvation comes from God, the one that because of man's sin also brought death to mankind. And I think that's beautiful. God provides a way of an escape from death that is due to us, that we deserve. Jesus is our salvation. He is our deliverer. He is the deliverer for mankind. He's the only one who can deliver us. God has prepared him to be our salvation for all people. And this is something that he planned for mankind before the foundation of the world. When Simeon saw Jesus, he saw salvation for all men. He saw a person, salvation for Simeon. And this person was not a doctrine, man-made rules, or a religion. You saw Jesus. Jesus is the source of our salvation. He recognized that Jesus was the one who brought light also to the Gentiles. And this announcement that Jesus himself is the light that will enlighten the Gentiles, I think, from what I can see, is the first time that a Jewish prophet prophesied about it. In the Old Testament, according to Isaiah 42, 5 and 7, God working in the nation of Israel, that was supposed to be a light to the Gentiles. But here Simeon says that Jesus will be a direct light for the Gentiles, not through the nation of Israel, but directly to the Gentiles. The early church struggled with the fact that even the Gentiles have direct access to God through Jesus, who is now a light for all men. But yes, with Simeon's testimony, he says that he is the light for us Gentiles. Simeon goes on to say how because of Jesus, Israel stumbled over him while he was on the earth, and how they continue to stumble over Jesus, but will one day, at the time of Jesus' return, will rise up again in belief. And because of the stumbling of the nation of Israel over Jesus, it will lead to Jesus' death, which will pierce Mary's soul or bring extreme sorrow in her life. Simeon shows to us loud and clear his testimony about who Jesus is. Let's go on now to Anna, verses 36 to 38. Luke shares this woman's testimony about what she thought about Jesus. She identified who the baby was that Simeon was holding. Who was this woman? Who was this lady? This woman was a prophetess. She was one who spoke things pertaining to the future. While it doesn't tell us that the Holy Spirit was upon her like it does for Simeon, I believe the fact that she was a prophetess would indicate that the Holy Spirit was upon her to speak things for God, like she does here. And as we will see later, she does indeed speak prophetic things about Jesus. She was an older woman and also a widow for many years. This woman, it seems like, was always at the temple because it says that she departed not from the temple. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She didn't do this when she was young and had a support team like her husband. She did this when she was old and also a widow. She was a prayer warrior. What did she pray about? I don't know, but my guess is that she prayed for the redemption of Jerusalem, like it says there. Anna, let's look at Anna's testimony about Jesus. It appears that Anna showed up as Simeon was proclaiming about who Jesus was because it says that she came in at that instant. She gave thanks to God for the coming of the Messiah. She, along with Simeon, was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. She was looking. What does the redemption of Jerusalem mean? When I read that, I right away had to think about Daniel 10, 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. And it will take 70 weeks for redemption to come to Israel and to Jerusalem. And I don't have time to get into the 70 weeks, but what Anna was looking for is when the Messiah, Jesus, will set up his kingdom on the earth. And this is the same as Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel. Anna shared this with those around her, that this baby was the Messiah. Her testimony was that Jesus was the Messiah. There are many different things that we could have learned from this account here in Luke 2. But I trust that we are convinced because of these three witnesses that the baby who came into the world, who came into the temple that day, was indeed the Christ. And I trust that we can have the faith like these three witnesses and believe that Jesus is who he said that he is. And also that we can be waiting and looking as well for the rapture of the church, when we will be forever with the Lord. If you are able to, I invite you to kneel to pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the story here in Luke that reveals to us witnesses, clear witnesses that testifies about who you are as a baby and who you will be and what you've done in our lives. I pray, God, that you just guide and direct us, that we would be firmly convinced in our lives about who you are. And I pray, God, even as we finish out 2024 and look into 2025, that we would wait anxiously, look for the coming of Christ. I pray, God, that you would just guide and direct us. Just be with us today, guide and direct our fellowship. I pray that you would be honored and glorified. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.